Hi, I'm Alexandria Barker, creator of the Wishful Thinking Manifestation System and your host for this transformational expert interview series. I'm so happy that you're on the call. The Wishful Thinking program teaches you the care and feeding of your chakras, which is your energetic body, and shows you how to live the life you really want through the law of attraction. And to launch my program, I've created this interview series with new leaders in the field of personal development, and they are going to share their secrets of success with you. Each guest is also going to give you a free gift just for listening. So I invite you to sit back and enjoy this content-rich interview that is designed to help you live your best life. And I hope you'll stay on the call till the end, because then we will be telling you how to access your gifts. So I'm very happy today to introduce today's guest, Nancy Batty. Nancy is a public speaker, a life coach, a mentor, and host and creator of the Nancy Batty Mentor Series of free teleseminars, which is dedicated to sharing the wealth of knowledge, insight, resources, and tools of today's most highly regarded teachers and speakers. And ultimately, Nancy's goal is for each of us to feel a greater compassion for ourselves so that we can offer more kindness and compassion to others. So we're going to speak with her a little bit about that. So hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Alexandria. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here with you.
Oh, well, I'm very honored that you agreed to be interviewed. It's exciting and thrilling for me, and I just can't wait to get started on this. So I'm really interested in this goal of yours, which is to help each of us feel this greater compassion for ourselves so that we can extend that to those around us. So let's just get right into that, and I'm wondering what techniques or tips or methods, you know, what methodology you might use and that you could recommend to us.
Well, thank you so much. And I think the greatest thing is that we all share a common bond. And as most of us know or are coming to have an appreciation, understanding of, is that we're all connected at a greater consciousness. So in effect, you know, what I feel, how I act, how I experience life is how other people do as well. And, you know, right. Most of us, whether we recognize it or not, come from a lot of fear. It's a very conditioned place of fear that manifests through the ego. And our ego's mandate is to keep us in that place of fear. And the opposite of the ego is our unconditioned loving self. So just our full potential of who we are meant to be at the time that we were born into spirit. And so what happens is we get conditioned over time. We get conditioned from experiences being young children. We get conditioned from the experiences that we have with other people, through media, through all of these experiences and challenges that we have. And what happens is as we grow up, we have all these limiting messages that are constantly bombarding our psyche and our thinking, and they become limiting beliefs. So we start to think very negatively about ourselves, and quite often we're not even aware that we're doing so. And what happens is the more that we can get into a place of recognizing and realizing that our thoughts are exactly just that, they're just thoughts, we actually have the power to change our thoughts. And when mm-hmm. we become aware of how negative some of our thoughts are and how they drive our limiting beliefs, if we take the practice of changing those thoughts into more positive, loving, supportive, affirming thoughts, we have a much greater and happier experience in the world. So it starts off with having the awareness, taking into account how we're viewing the world. So that's kind of the start of the discussion.
Right, because, these thoughts can take over so much that it just feels like normal, and often we don't even recognize them as maybe being, you know, negative until we take the time to really sit and, what am I thinking? Whoa, that's not what I want to send out to the universe. So, awareness is really key to this. Now, how would you suggest people become more aware of their thought processes? You know,
well,
so
that's
they can
a great
determine
question, and I
negative.
Absolutely. I think it's a great question. And I think the starting point is to really kind of sit back in a moment of reflection and look at how you're viewing the world. How are you showing up in the world? How are you experiencing it? You know, if you were to kind of look at your life, everyday life, and you could, if you wanted to, break it down into the different pillars of your life, if you look at your health, you look at relationship, you look at money, you look at your spiritual side, you look at your fun and relationships, that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. what is the experience? I mean, are you feeling negativity? Are you feeling anxiousness? Are you feeling stress? Are you feeling worry? Does everything seem to be quite negative? Are you experiencing a lot of problems? You know, do you feel happy about things, or do you find yourself that you're constantly in a state of worry or angst, and you're concerned about your finances, you're not in the best of relationships, you know, you're concerned about your health? I mean, when you look at things, are you looking at things from the perspective of what you don't have? Are you looking at things from the perspective of what you're lacking, or are you looking at things from a place of being plentiful and prosperous and abundant? So I would say that would be the first place to really sit back and take an accounting of how you're showing up, how you're experiencing life. Is it mostly negative or is it mostly positive? And I would say that would be the starting point.
Well, it's interesting that you broke it down into all those life areas, because that's what I guide them to do as well in the Wishful Thinking Manifestation Program. But I'm just going to play a little bit of devil's advocate here, and let's pretend I'm just starting out on this journey, and maybe I'm like checking all of the above. Yeah, I want better finances, better health, better relationship. You know, where would someone start? If they were, you know, if they fit that description, would they try to tackle all of it at once? Because I would think that maybe would be a bit overwhelming. So I'm just, again, going to pass the ball to you and say, what would you recommend in a situation like that? Would they just figure what is the absolute, you know, one that's really crying out for attention, or would they steadily work on all of them, or what do you recommend?
I think that's a really good point, because if you're already recognizing that you're in a place of overwhelm and anxiousness and feeling a lot of anxiety and stress, and it definitely would be too much to all of a sudden decide you're going to alter every facet of your life. And I think it really starts with kind of understanding your belief system, kind of really breaking it down. So you might want to look at all the different pillars of your life and kind of decide mm-hmm. the one that the most important for you right now, because like you mentioned, it would be just far too much to be able to tackle everything at the same time. And then you wouldn't have any success at it, because you're not able to spread yourself that thinly. You're not going to have any changes made immediately, and then you're going to be harder on yourself again, because you're going to see that you're coming up in a sense of failure as opposed to a sense of achievement and accomplishment. So then that kind of is a double-edged sword that's going to just make you feel badly again. So I would pick the one area of your life that you feel needs the most attention right now, and then I would do a there's an exercise that I really like to do, and it's to put everything in perspective. I'm a very visual person. That's my greatest way of learning that I find very supportive. So if you were to do a pie chart, and you broke the pie down into the seven different pillars of life, so you had a section for spirituality, and you had a section for your health, you had a section for finances, section for relationship, and on your business career, and fun, because mm-hmm. we'll get the fun part. And mm-hmm. if you started writing down the areas in those particular pillars that you were currently experiencing, so things that you were seeing as a concern or a problem, and you rated it between 1 and 10. So if you just, you know, took some time and filled out those different pie chart areas, and all of the things that you could immediately think of, write them into sentences, what you're experiencing, what the problems are, even the good things that are going on in each of those areas, and rate them on a scale of 1 to 10. Walk away from it. I really think it's a good idea to walk away from it, take a breath, come back, look at the paper again, and then you'll have a visual representation, because you might find, let's say that your health part is pretty good. You know, you're eating well, you're getting, you know, adequate rest, you're taking time to exercise at least 3 times a week. you're maybe spending some time devoted to listening to music or reading a book, or you're going out for a walk with friends once or twice a week. So you could say that the health component, the health pillar, is fairly strong. Might not be optimum, but it's fairly strong. And then if we look down into, let's say, finances, because that's generally everybody's major concern, the common yeah. bond we all have. So we look at finances, and then you find, oh, well, you know, I'm concerned about the bills, and perhaps, you know, I recently got laid off, or I was hoping for a job promotion, and I didn't get it. Or perhaps I'm starting a new business, and I'm just trying to get, you know, get it up and running and off the ground, and I have all these bills coming in, and the income's not matching the debt that I have at my doorstep right now. So that's probably a huge area of stress, a huge area of concern.
Yeah, that's what I hear a lot about as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that might be the area that you decide that you want to work on. So we're going to put everything else aside for right now, and we're just going to focus on the finances. So my next suggestion from there would be, and not necessarily in the same time, I'm a big proponent of walking away, changing your environment. So we're going to look at the finances.
Right.
It might be a great idea. Yeah. Maybe leave, you know, if you typically sit and look at your finances when you're sitting in the kitchen or in your home-based office, if you stay in that same environment, you're going to be looking at the problem with the same set of eyes. Your brain is going to be interpreting the information in the same habitual habit that it's had in pattern. Because every time you sit and look at your bill, you're doing the same room all the time. Yeah. It's an amazing little exercise to do. So if you make the commitment, and this is part of self-care, if you make the commitment to change the environment, that you're now going to look at this area of your life. It's not a problem. It's just an area of your life that you want to spend some time reflecting on. So we have to be aware of how we're perceiving the exercise and the area of our life that we're going to be looking at, because we don't want to keep bombarding ourselves with the negativity of it all. So perhaps go to the park, go grab a coffee, go to the beach, you know, go on top of the mountain, go sit in your garden. Just do something, go somewhere that's different than you typically would sit to talk and think about your finances. And then my next suggestion would be to, because now we want to figure out what your belief systems are around money. So if you have a pad of paper and pen, and start thinking about money as a person, as an entity, a separate entity. And start thinking back, maybe pick three particular incidences or experiences that you've had with money that have been less than favorable, things that caused you stress, moments where you feel that you made decisions that weren't as empowering or supportive of you as they could have been, and have a conversation with each of those experiences. Write out as much as you can recall about the whole experience with money and thinking of money as a person. How did they show up for you? Did they let you down? How comfortable were you in that relationship with the money? Were you trusting of the money? Was the money trusting of you? Do you see that money is working for you? Do you see that you're working for the money? You know, what are the other components of that experience? It could be even in terms of things that have been modeled for you as a younger person. You know, perhaps your mom and dad had certain ways that they dealt with money, and you've kind of taken that on, and it's become your own thoughts and beliefs around money. So I would spend some time really getting into and feeling into what has your experience been with money to date. If money was a complete separate person and entity, what kind of relationship have you had with money so far?
That's really interesting. I haven't come across that exercise before. I've read a lot of self-help and, you know, that sort of material, but that's a new one to me, and I can see how that could be really, really powerful and very enlightening, you know, because if that would reflect how we're feeling about money, which is, of course, what we're going to be radiating out and in our thoughts and beliefs and emotions, and we're just going to continue to attract the same back. So if it's something you don't like, you want to change that, That sounds like a really good way to do it. And I'm very visual, too, and my imagination tends to, take off when I let it. And so I can see for myself really creating this persona of money and even maybe taking it to the level, like, what does this person look like or this entity look like and that sort of thing. Would you recommend taking it to that degree? Like to really get to know
absolutely. I think it's a brilliant idea. And like I said earlier, I mean, that's the thing about money. It's what we all have as a common bond. I mean, we all need it in so many ways and respects, but we all have such different relationships with money, and we have different beliefs around money, and it's really when we get into understanding what our beliefs are, number one, where they've come from, number two, pardon me, and are they empowering or are they disempowering? And so what kind of hold does it have over us? So, I mean, and we could go all over the place with the different, there's all sorts of different exercises that we can do when it comes to money. However, if we focus on this one and we're wanting to establish what kind of relationship have we had with money to date. So if we start really being open and willing to allow ourselves to feel into the pain that we might associate when we go back on these experiences, if you're really feeling let down, if you're really feeling very angry, resentful, scared, fearful, afraid of not having enough money, afraid of not being able to support your family, afraid that you're going to end up, on the road without a roof over your head. I mean, those are very real, legitimate fears. I mean, I know personally a gentleman who's extremely successful down in the U.S. He became a billionaire. The gentleman at one point in his life lived under a bridge. We all have the fear of not having enough money. It is just a part of the human experience. So if we allow ourselves to fully walk into that emotion and that place of feeling the fear, because what we typically do is we, we push away, we resist. And, the expression, I mean, the more that we resist something, the more it persists. And so the fear has now become twofold. We're fearful of not having money. We're fearful of what will happen to us. We're fearful of being out of control and having no control in our life because we have no money. Equally, we're fearful of being that open and honest with ourselves to allow the emotion to flow through us to say, I am scared out of my mind. But if we allow ourselves to feel that emotion, and just standing in a place of awareness to physically, literally stand up or sit down and say, oh my gosh, I am right now feeling it in my stomach. My stomach is knots. I feel like I'm going to get ill. My chest is tight. My arms are tight. My heart's beating faster. I'm getting a bit of a headache. If you can stand in awareness to physically feel the emotion and how it's working through your body, as you allow that to happen and you surrender and you stop resisting it, you will find that those emotions and that feeling will go through your body much quicker. And then you'll be on the other side that you'll be able to say, wow, this is how it feels. This is how it feels to be scared. And every time that we're willing to walk through the pain and get to the other side, and sometimes it takes more than a moment, and sometimes it takes more than an hour, and generally speaking, it's generally not more than 3 days, but you'll find that it's kind of a relationship to the Bible, ironically. 3 days, you'll get to the other side, you will have relief. Because now, when you've gotten to the other side, you now have clarity. You've now just learned something about yourself. I was scared to death. But what was I scared of? And what did I experience? I experienced some emotion. And then you become aware of your thoughts. Once you become aware of your thoughts, you now have power over them, because from there you can create more positive thoughts. Now, before you get into creating the positive thoughts, my suggestion would be now to go through and do some forgiveness work, to practice the art of forgiveness. And the art of forgiveness would be, and there's different ways to do it, you could write a letter, and you could write that letter to the relationship, to the entity, to money as a separate person, and also to yourself. Yeah, and
right.
So if we start the forgiveness practice, that is a part of the healing. And the more healing we do, we reduce and we remove the blocks, the energetic blocks that are keeping us from attaining all that we're here rightfully deserving to experience in our life. And once those are removed and cleared, then we can start creating more positive, affirming thoughts and beliefs that will take us into much more financial prosperity and abundance.
So I guess you would have to kind of keep your eye on the prize, and with more, you know, self-acceptance being the prize and feeling better about finances being the prize, to kind of get you through going to those dark places that I think most of us naturally just don't think we want to avoid going there. And especially when people are first learning about the law of attraction, and they're learning that, you know, if they feel a certain way, that they're going to be attracting more of that, more things that will make them feel that way. So I think, you know, people think, oh, I've got to stay positive all the time, or I got to, you know, try to convince myself that I'm feeling really good all the time, and which, you know, doesn't work, of course, because we're still going to be vibrating the same. But, yeah, I think it's going to be helpful to our listeners to hear about this, going through this practice and doing, you know, the finances as an entity, and really feel that feeling, so that the next time the bills arrive, you're not going to be in the depths of despair, because you've taken the time to address it. You'll be able to look at it, you know, with a little bit more detached, right? Would you agree with that?
Well, you're absolutely right about that, because it's, you know, if we just go around saying to ourselves, oh, I'm attracting money, I'm abundant, I'm receiving financial
yeah.
prosperity, but inside your stomach is in knots. Your stomach is in knots, thinking, oh my God, I mean, if I don't pay the power next week, I'm going to be sitting in the dark. I mean, if we really don't get a grasp and it's a process. I mean, in some cases, perhaps depending on the degree, to the depth of how much you've been holding on to fear and resentment and worry and anxiousness about money beliefs. I mean, you know, the transformation could be instant, it could be over a process of time or whatever it is, but I really am such a huge advocate of forgiveness work, because it just does so much to clear out our energies, and that's where the compassion component comes in. If we are willing to stand in taking full responsibility for our lives through our thoughts, our words, our actions, our behavior, and always looking inwardly instead of looking at other people and pointing the finger to other people, if we're willing to really get how we've been limiting ourselves based on all these belief systems, because we're willing to be that open to recognizing what the belief systems are, and then we start the practice of forgiveness for the entity of money itself, for the relationship, the experiences that we've had to date, and then we forgive ourselves. Then we forgive ourselves for thinking of ourselves as not worthy enough to have financial abundance or prosperity, for forgiving ourselves for making decisions that weren't the most supportive or the most empowering at the time. We've all made bad decisions when it comes to money, and we hang on to that. We beat ourselves up continually, and we're not even aware that we do it. So if we've made a poor choice on investing or spending money, you know, those thoughts are continually running around in our psyche, reminding us how inadequate we are, how, you know, not intelligent enough we are. I mean, how... It's a vicious circle. So when we offer the practice of forgiveness, that is offering compassion for ourselves. And the greater the compassion we're able to offer for ourselves, the greater compassion we're able to offer for other people, which in turn means that once we start to recognize how much the grip of being fearful of not having money has been holding us in a certain place in our life, which outwardly shows itself as maybe not being as nice or friendly to other people or people that we love as we could be, When you start to realize that other people are walking around holding their own issues of anger and fear around their own money problems, we're not so quick to judge somebody when they're not as friendly to us as we would have hoped they would be, or they're a little bit rude, or they cut us off in traffic, or they didn't hold the door open for us when they went into the bank because they were so caught up in their own fears themselves that they were oblivious to the fact that you were standing right behind them. But the kinder you are to yourself and the more forgiving and the more loving you are, that radiates from the inside out. And then we offer that compassion to another person and they don't feel so overwhelmed.
Yeah, oh, I love that idea. That's so nice. So the letter to this other entity, to this financial entity, was a great idea, letter of forgiveness to yourself and to them. Did any other pointers that, to help people get to that place of forgiveness and compassion?
I think the components of the letter, the exercise for the forgiveness is important because you really want to truly live into the whole experience so that you're going back and feeling all the negative emotions. And then you want to look at, well, what could the misinterpretations have been? What other ways could either you or the money could have chosen to act or interact, or words could have been said? Was there a potential possibility that you could have made or had a different interpretation of the experience? What were the hurts and wounds? Identify and express exactly why you were sad, why you were angry, why you were disappointed. Write out what the vision would have been. What would have, if you had a magic wand and you could wave that wand, what far better experience would you like to have had in that particular moment that you're remembering? And then think about all the positive attributes and traits of yourself and the money as a relationship itself. What are the things that you appreciate about that experience or about the money in general? What are the good qualities, traits, and things that the money would bring to the table? Show the appreciation for all of that. And then you want to reframe the story. So this is what could have happened. This is how I see what could have happened. This is what did happen. And that's the process of letting go, because then you realize, I always say to my children as I've been raising them, there's two ways to talk to people. There's a nice way and there's a not so nice way. So we always have the ability to perceive things by two choices. We can assume the worst about a situation or a person, or we can assume the best. And we give ourselves much more compassion and loving experience if we assume the best. So why not do that as well as part of the forgiveness process?
Oh, that's great. And what a wonderful take home for our listeners. Just what a wonderfully useful piece of information. And I'm asking everyone I interview as well for this series, just what techniques that you might personally use that you would, something that you would say, yeah, I do this every day without fail. Like I do this like I brush my teeth in the morning, I make this a priority and I make sure I do it. And this keeps me in, the headspace and just the emotional and mental state that you want to be in, to be creating in a very positive way. So what would be your little secret to success?
Oh, well, thank you. What a beautiful question. I have a bit of a routine. I call it my, it's a power hour, but it probably takes more than that time on some days. I meditate every morning, and I walk my three dogs every day. So when I walk my dogs, we go to the park, and I do my prayers out loud. I do forgiveness work out loud. I set affirmations. I say I am statements, and I do a lot of journaling. I'm a very big person on journaling. I do a lot of writing. I read every day for a minimum of an hour, anything that's related to spiritual or personal growth. But when I read, I actually study. So I always have a notebook with me. I take what I'm reading. I make it into lessons. I'm big on asking questions. So when I set goals or I'm reading something, I'm continually rephrasing everything into a question so that my brain is taking the information and processing it and interacting with it. I'm really, like I said earlier, a very big proponent of forgiveness work, and I did my prayers this morning, again when I was walking, and I was to the point of tears because I was, you know, expressing my appreciation for all of the abundance of today. And today I went into, you know, for sight and sound. And what happens is because I take a bit of a breath and I get into a meditative state before I start, and then I just walk back and forth and I literally have a conversation with God out loud. And I start by saying,
oh, nice.
I'm grateful for today and the abundance. And I started talking about sight, all the five senses I'm so grateful for. And I went into everything that I'm able to experience as a result of my five senses. I was in tears at the end of it. And it brings you to such a place of recognizing the unbelievable gift of who we are. And it reminds me every day, we are all so connected. Everything that I could possibly assume and perceive as an injustice or something that would hurt me is everything that another human being could perceive as an injustice or an illusion to hurt them. And why would I ever want to see somebody else going through that type of pain? So I consciously choose to let go of negative thoughts, and I only see the gifts and potential and the gifts that I was given as a result of being born, and then I go into my day showing that to other people.
What a powerful practice. That's amazing. Very, very nice. And I could see how that would really set your tone for the whole day. I imagine you do that early in the day. Well, maybe you don't. When in the day do you do this practice?
I am an early riser. I can tend to kind of have the habit of burning the candle to both ends, which I you know, work to remind myself, you know, get to bed a little bit earlier, because I get so excited about, you know, how much I can do in a day, and I'm so grateful for having the day that quite often I just don't want it to end, but I can tend to kind of push it. So I get up at 5 o'clock every morning, and I start
wow.
my meditation, and then I get into everything else to do. I am, and then I meditate at nighttime before I go to bed, and then I always fit, like you say, a minimum of an hour into my day to sit and read whatever captures my interest, and that's one of the things I'm so grateful for, because, I mean, the wealth and resources in terms of books and material, and I'm just,
exactly.
I bought 6 books on the weekend, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness, which one do I start with first? So it's all that high vibrating energy of appreciation and gratitude, and you know, and that's what propels us into an amazing life. And so
sometimes we have to go through the dark to get to the light, right? We have to kind of get down there and see what's really going on that we've been suppressing and pushing down, and deal with it, and then clear it up, and then the light can shine through.
You are so bang on with that, and you couldn't have expressed it any better. It is such a gift to yourself if you're willing to have the courage to do that. And the beautiful thing about it, as you just mentioned, I mean, if you're willing to dig deep down and really get down to that level of darkness, there is nothing but climbing up and heading towards the light as the gift on the other side. It will be the greatest gift you could ever give yourself. And wholeheartedly supportive for everybody to honor and love and respect themselves enough to realize, I can let go of this pain. I can live into the expansiveness of who I'm meant to be if I'm only willing to have the courage to feel the pain, because the other side is nothing but glorious.
Oh, wow. And that's really a good incentive, like to have that trust. And I'm going to give that a try, and I hope that our listeners do as well. And we'll just, you know, take that leap of faith. And hearing you talk about, you know, going through it and how it feels to come out on the other side, I think will give us all a little bit more confidence in doing that and giving that exercise a try. And I would recommend doing it on a day when, you know, you won't be interrupted and you've got to really carve out that time for yourself so that you can see this right through. And then, you know, go into the letter of forgiveness, or if you like any others, like I like some releasing techniques such as EFT tapping, and you know, that's my favorite. So I would, for myself, I would go right into, you know, right into tapping mode after that to just kind of clear my energy.
Absolutely.
And so And I have a wealth of information about that on my website that people could look up if they're curious about EFT. So we're Nancy, this has been awesome, and I hesitate to bring this interview to a close, but I did, you know, tell our listeners we would be approximately a half hour. So, and I also mentioned to them that you would be sharing gifts, that we both are sharing gifts with our listeners. And so I just invite you to share a little bit about the gift that you're offering today and how they can go about accessing that.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm very excited about offering this gift. I'm actually hosting a two-week free teleseminar starting on July the 25th, and it's running until August the 5th, and we're doing a call on compassion. The title of the series is Compassion, the Essential Elements of Happiness. And I have 23 of the most highly regarded and notable thought and spiritual leaders of our time participating in the call. And interesting enough that you just mentioned EFT, which I'm a huge proponent of, Brad Yates, who is one of the most amazing EFT practitioners, is actually participating. Yes, he's participating on the call on Friday, August the 5th, so you'll have to stay tuned.
He's amazing. So I just love him.
As far as our gift is concerned, for any of your listeners, if they'd like to sign up for the series, and I'll give them the link in a moment, the gift will be, because what we're doing is we're offering the live calls, we're offering the recording for 24 hours afterwards, and then people that are signing up for the call have the option to purchase either all the recordings in an MP3 format or a CD format. But for any listeners that have listened to our time together today, which I'm so appreciative of, I'd be more than happy to gift them with a lifetime copy of the MP3 for Janet Atwood and Marie Diamond signing up and registering for the call. So I will give you the link. Yeah, I'm real excited about it. And I'll give you the link, and then they can email me directly, nancybatty@nancybatty.com, and let me know that they've signed up as a result of listening to our time together today, and I will make sure personally that they receive those MP3 files as soon as the calls have come to completion. And the link for the site is www, and it's Nancy Batty Mentor Series /compassion.com, and Batty is spelled BATTYE.
Okay, that's perfect. And I'm also offering our listeners a gift, and which is a copy of my ebook, Now and Zen, The Joy of Meditation. And it comes with a guided meditation MP3. And to receive this gift, they can just go to my blog, which is www.freelovingthelawofattraction.com, and just sign up with their email address, and they can receive that the ebook and the guided meditation directly into their email. So yeah, so again, I guess we've kind of run out of time today, Nancy, but I wanted to thank you again so much. I know what a busy woman you are, and I so appreciate you taking the time to meet with me today so that we could present this interview series. And thank you very, very much. It was just really, really wonderful and some great ideas. So thank you so much, and I wish you much luck with your. I've signed up for your series as well. I can't wait for it to start. I know you've got a stellar lineup for that, so it's going to be really exciting, and I really encourage our listeners to take advantage of that generous gift that you're offering. So, and I invite them to also stay tuned, because we will have more listeners as this series to launch the Wishful Thinking Manifestation System. So I'm just so thrilled that you were part of this with me, Nancy. So can't thank you enough. And but I guess I should let you go. I know you've got other things to do today.
Well, so, Alexandria, thank you so very much for your time and for all the work that you're doing to inspire and encourage everybody else that's following your work. And you're doing a marvelous job, and I'm so grateful and thankful for what you're doing as well. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks so much. And everybody out there listening, have a wonderful afternoon as well. Thanks, Nancy, and I will talk to you again very soon. Bye, everyone.
Right on. Bye-bye.